Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Achtung Mall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Well, welcome to the, well, it's actually the third part. It's the same show, really, isn't it? It's number 650, Achtung Mall. My name is Nick Hart, and this is effectively a part three. I don't think I've ever had a three-parter before. We normally do parts one and two, don't we, on these podcasts? But this one is part three. It's been such a week, dear listeners. We've had a whirlwind, as one email to me has put it. I can't think of anything quite like it in my time following the lines, which goes back a long way, as you know. But we've got a couple of voice messages people have sent in to me from before the appointment of Neil Harris. So still commenting on the last vestiges of the Joe Edwards era. So I'm going to include a couple of voice notes that people have sent me, Dave Baccarini and then Misha Hall. Obviously, events have moved swiftly this week with the appointment, shock appointment, of Neil Harris returning to the Den after 4.5 years and the departure of Joe Edwards. It's a mixed comment online. I think it's fair to say this has divided Millwall opinion down the middle. So I'm going to run the first two voice notes now from Dave and Misha, and obviously they are slightly outdated by the events of the week, but I wanted to include them because I think the issues that both Dave and Misha highlight are still relevant and will be relevant tomorrow as I speak, going down to Southampton, because, you know, it's all very well to talk about the adrenaline rush of the return of Bomber, but the fundamental issues that we'll touch on in this mini edition remain the same. So let's have a listen now to both Dave and Misha.
Nick, a doom-laden day for not-so-optimistic Australia. Just going to make one point today. Joe Edwards had a pedigree coaching career, so they said, playing with all these other great coaches and yield the latest ideas, but I've been perplexed by his relative inflexibility or creativity in changing what's not working. We need to go more defensive, probably four at the back and three in midfield, but he's stuck with the five at the back for Wednesday. We all groan, and the inevitable happened. I did say a few weeks ago we were sleepwalking to relegation. Well, the board and Edwards, unfortunately, are doing that as we sleepwalk through this nightmare. Roll on, Southampton. Come on, you Lions.
Evening, Nick. Long-term listener of your show. Misha here. Love the stuff you do. I just want to elaborate. Yesterday, I didn't even think we'd win yesterday. I thought going into Sheffield Wednesday, we just looked so low on confidence and those low leadership, as we're aware. I will say under Edwards, I've seen some of the best football I've seen for a long, long time. I think we all touched on that. I do think he understands the club. We saw that in the Norwich game. Although Ashley Barnes sort of won that for us, but I do honestly think if he can get the right players in, we will be a force, and I do trust him. It's just right now there's a squad issue, there's a leadership issue within the squad. Cooper is not a captain. I would take the armband off of him and let him just focus on his football, because he's a good footballer, but let him focus on his football. Give the captain's armband. Give it to Fleming. I think he's showing clear leadership, or Honeyman maybe, because he's been a captain before, but not Cooper. Please, not Cooper. I think the squad's there. I do think we've got a half decent squad. I just don't think that it's just leadership. I'm putting everything down to leadership. I think if we can sort out the leadership issue, then we will start picking up results. I do think with Hutch coming back, Leonard's sort of back, I think that's going to give us a massive boost. But I do think we need to be realistic now. We are in a dogfight. We need to save these players for the teams around us and rest them against the big teams, in my opinion. You know, start the players who's on loan against the big teams, see what they can do. But the players who want to play for the club, like the players of like the Amarkus, the Hutchinsons, you know, McNamara, keep them for the teams around us, and we will pick up points. And I do think we'll be safe. I think the teams just below us are starting to pick up a bit of form, but that's not going to last forever. And hopefully our bad form will turn into good form. But I'm being optimistic. I do think we'll stay up. I think we'll be all right, but it's going to be hard getting there. And I'll be interested to see what happens in the summer. Cheers, Nick. Have a good evening.
Yeah, not so optimistic, Aussie, Dave. I like it when you're sunny and when it's all the, you know, Australian kind of looking up at the clear blue skies and get on the beach and all the rest of it. But I make you both right, really, Dave and Misha. Obviously, the leadership issue, which you've touched on there, Misha, is fundamental. I mean, that's what's gone missing, really. And I think, you know, you hear all sorts of leaks and rumours from people who are in the know. I don't claim to be in the know. Dear listeners, in case you're wondering, don't come on this podcast looking for inside tracks on stuff, because I don't do that. Others claim to be in the know, and from what you pick up and what you hear, morale within the Calmont Road camp is rock bottom, has been rock bottom. Who knows whether Bomber Harris, Chopper Harris, whatever nickname you want to give to club legend Neil Harris, what he can do to try and bring that back. But there's an interesting message from Rosalind, one of our listeners, making a great point, actually, and it relates to the lack of leadership within the squad in recent times, really, because, and I include myself on this, a lot of us have been saying how there's a kind of a squad issue and no one's ever recovered from the Blackburn game and all the rest of it. But as Rosalind makes the point here, that Edwards, the dearly departed Joe Edwards, most of his teams didn't include large slices of that Blackburn team. You know, it's changed quite a lot since even last May. So clearly, whatever underpins this lack of backbone, the lack of spine that Neil Harris has got to come back and find or resurrect, take your pick. What's causing that? Because you can't keep on changing faces and yet somehow, you know, there is a saying that says no matter how much things change, they remain the same. How does that come into play in a football dressing room? I don't know. As she makes the point here, pre-Neil Harris being appointed, that the crowd need to be given something to rally around. Now, I think in whatever people may think of the wisdom of jettisoning the Joe Edwards experiment, the project and all the rest of it, and the resurrection of Neil Harris from Cambridge United, he will certainly bring Millwall emotion. My own view, as I said on online and, you know, WhatsApp groups and on Twitter, is that we do need to tap into Millwall emotion. If we're going to survive this 13-game run, we need to try and find something like the form that kept us alive in 77-78, which was, for anyone that doesn't know what that means, we won our last six games to stay just about in the third division. When we were staring down second division, when we were staring down relegation to the third division. And it was a run of form that I'll never forget. But, you know, you can't depend on that too often. But that's the kind of thing that we're going to have to find now. We've got double the number of fixtures that we had then to try and turn it around. So there is still a bit of wiggle room, but not much. So can Neil Harris turn things around? Clearly that's going to be his number one and probably only priority. He's trying to resurrect form from a team that's shown very, very little so far. I've had another interesting email just before I close on this Southampton preview. I'm going to go down there tomorrow, dear listeners, so hopefully we'll have a post-match show to bring you from St Mary's. Mill sitting obviously in 21st place, Southampton in form, Southampton in fourth, 67 points to our 33. So we're up against it. I can't think of a better man to try and lead us into that kind of bear pit than Neil Harris. So, you know, fingers crossed on that front. But we had an interesting email from one of our listeners, Steve Bowler. Big shout out to Steve, who is a regular correspondent with me, but he's been listening to the shows recently. But he does mention the turnaround that Neil achieved at Cambridge. He one of his sons knows one of the players for Cambridge, and he said the dressing room there was on a very low point from changes at that club, and Harris has done a good job there of turning things around. Now, you know, that clearly the attraction of the Den has been such that Neil has, you know, has given that up to come back to us. But he says here that his daughter's boyfriend is mates with one of their players, and wasn't. Although there was a feeling that they weren't initially impressed with Bomber, he reckons that over the weeks and months since he's come in, he's improved players no end. So whether that magic, inverted commas, and influence can be brought back to the Den in a hurry, we're going to find out tomorrow at Southampton. So a big thank you to Rosalind and to Steve for those emails, messages. We're going to close the show now with two back-to-back messages by Adam Coyne and Glyn Horner, both of which post-date the appointment of Neil Harris. So a little bit more on the minute. I didn't want to let the other two go to waste, so forgive the somewhat mixed approach, the tapas approach to this show, dear listeners. But yeah, so two messages now from Glyn and from Adam. So a big thank you to you both. Incidentally, dear listeners, if you do want to contribute to our voicemail shows, you are most welcome. Give us a shout on the X direct message. You can send sound files direct to me on X. Send a direct message as a sound option on the button, and you can do it that way. Or give me a message and we can exchange mobile numbers. And, you know, send me a voice note or something like that. Post-match, midweek, whenever you like, really, whenever the thought occurs to you, if you want something to say, and as long as it's within the law, non-libelous, non-slanderous and all that kind of thing, then I'll do my best to include it. I do like to include everything I receive, so big thank you to everyone that's contributed to this and previous shows. But we're going to play the this shorty edition out now for you, a little mini edition, a little taster, an amuse-bouche for tomorrow's trip to Southampton, the return of the Bomber. So take it away now, Adam and then Glyn Horner. Big thank you for listening, dear listeners. Arrivederci Mule. Bye for now.
Hey, Nick. Adam Coyne calling in on the Neil Harris situation. So just listened to the podcast and wanted to share some of my thoughts. When it dropped into my friend's WhatsApp group, I had to check the calendar because I thought it was April Fool's Day. Obviously Joe Edwards... change had to be made. Something was just not right, and all I could see was relegation, but had no did not see that one coming, that's for sure. Initially, like, it just feels like a huge step backwards, and just, yeah, it seems like it's either going to be a massive mistake, or it's going to be the most genius thing the club's ever done. I just can't decide which one it's going to be at the moment. But yeah, I think I can, I mean, the more time I leave it and the more I think about it, I can see some positive things there. I think a lot of people are obviously saying or going to say that what's Neil Harris done since he's left. And you could probably argue that he's not done a lot, but I can guarantee that he's learnt in that time. He's had obviously a lot of time to reflect on his time here and maybe what he could have done better, and I'm pretty sure he's gonna feel like he's got something to prove and something to put right from when he left. I think he's got a job that maybe wasn't quite finished, and he feels like he can maybe come back and finish that job now. So I see positives there. One thing it may be also showing us is that there was definitely a player mentality problem. I think Neil Harris is definitely a people manager or a person manager. He manages relationships and he certainly knows how to fire people up and get stuff out of them. And one thing you can really guarantee from, or you can certainly get out of a Neil Harris team, is he'll get them fighting. he'll get some spirit, he'll get some passion into that team. And that's definitely something that he will command. And I think he's potentially also got the bollocks to bring in the youth players if certain players aren't giving that to him, especially when it's going to be such a short time frame to perform Mission Impossible. So be interesting to see how he handles that if he doesn't get performances out of the players. But I'm not entirely buying into the fact that the players have given up because their contracts are up and they don't see a future at the club. I can't see any player wanting to be in a relegation team. I think it's more of a belief issue, a mindset issue. Maybe they were just not able to do what they were being asked of on the training ground, and that was then leading into them sort of not being able to play on the pitch or having a disbelief in what they were trying to or being asked to do. So I think there is a potential that he's gonna be able to fix some of those problems. My concern is that the Championship is a very different place to when he was here before. And I still think we've got problems up front with actually getting goals. So that's, you might be able to get people playing, you might be able to get some passion and fight in the team. But is he going to be able to get us to score goals when we've got next to no strikers or strikers that haven't had really much game time? So yeah, interesting to see how that all plays out. I think one thing it's certainly given me is there is a potential bit of hope in that we can get out of this mess. Whereas under Joe Edwards, all I was really seeing was relegation. So, you know, let's look at the positives and let's see how it turns. And it might seem crazy, but I was really, really regretting buying a ticket for Southampton in this last week after that game. But call me crazy, but there is also a little bit of an element of me now that's looking forward to going to Southampton and seeing what we can do. I still don't think we're going to necessarily win that game. I don't think we can go there and think, oh, Harris is in and massive things going to change. I still think we lose this game on Saturday. But I think he can, a couple of games in, he can maybe turn things around, give that team a bit of belief, and maybe we can nick a few wins and stay up. It'll be interesting to see what he can do, if the players respond, and if they don't respond, how he reacts. Let's see how it goes. Cheers, Nick. One piece I forgot to add there, Nick, was the contract length seems a little bit crazy to me. 18 months on a contract. I don't know if that's in case we get relegated. I don't know if I'm hoping there's some kind of agreement there that it's an 18-month contract. But if we stay up, or if that we've got the opportunity to find someone else available that can take the club forward, that he would step down. And it really is like a come in, save the relegation, and then move on. But the 18-month contract's there in case there isn't anyone suitable for the job available. Because like I say at the beginning, I think for us to go with Edward Ball, as you put it, to then just drop straight back to Neil Harris and not have a path to still bring the club forward, seems crazy. So it'd be interesting to know what's actually in that contract and if it truly is an 18-month contract or if it's just a bit there that would allow us some breathing space at the end of the season. Yeah. So anyway, thanks.
Hi, Nick. Glyn here. I'm just calling in because I'm a little bit taken aback by the negativity around the placement of Harris to replace Joe Edwards. And I think, quite a few assumptions are being made, which I think are a bit hasty or, you know, inaccurate. And maybe, you know, we need to just sort of take a moment and reflect on what's happened since Harris left us as a manager. I mean, clearly he's managed at Cardiff, Gillingham and Cambridge. And yes, that is moving down the leagues if you look at where the clubs are playing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he hasn't learned anything in his time away from Millwall. He certainly would have built up more network of contacts. He will have learnt a lot from the very different situations going on at those clubs that he was involved at. And, you know, not all great managers make it into the Premier League and moving up through the leagues. If you look at someone like Mark Robbins, for example, or Tony Mowbray, I think a lot of people would say that they've spent the majority, if not all, of their careers managing at Football League level, but are very good managers. Now, Neil Harris, I'm not saying necessarily he's at that level. He may be. We don't know yet. But I think he needs to be given time to prove that he has evolved from the manager in his first job that he was with Millwall. And let's not forget, he was quite successful during that spell and to where he is today. And I think he will have learned quite a lot. I also think that, you know, just moving down the leagues, that's not necessarily a reflection on him per se, because a lot of English managers don't get the same opportunities. There's such an influx of foreign managers now, and then clubs sort of going for, let's say, former players and so forth. It's hard for managers to find jobs. So, you know, to stay in work is most important, and to get that track record of jobs behind you, a number of games on your record, I think is important as well. And if you look at Harris's record, His win rates at, I think, Gillingham and Cambridge were in the sort of mid to high 30s. There were wins and there were draws, and about a third of the games he was at Gillingham were losses. So it's not terrible. And at the end of the day, the guy can only work with the squad that he's got. And from what I understand, his exit from Gillingham wasn't really straightforward and based upon football matters anyway. So I think everyone just should maybe just give him a little bit more time, get behind him, give him all the chance that he can to try and get this current squad of players, which is all he's got. Let's remember, there's no hidden cash fund that's going to suddenly bring in players, loan players or free agents or whatever, that's going to boost our squad. He has to make this group of players work. And right now, I think the biggest thing that's missing from that group of players is mentality and confidence. And if he can bring that back, then we have a chance of staying up. So I don't necessarily think this is a step backwards. Neil Harris has to obviously prove that he has got the ability and experience now to move the club forward, and from, you know, quite a negative starting position. And for all of those sort of obviously talking about Gary Rowett and how we should never have gotten rid of him, let's not forget, that wasn't very enjoyable football to watch. I would often find myself drifting off and looking at my phone during the middle of games because I just was getting totally bored watching what was on the pitch. And also, if you compare, I saw, I think it was one of the other contributors on your show was talking about some of the stats. The performances under Gary Rowett since the start of this season were not great. We were on a downward spiral, and that was continued by Joe Edwards. So I don't know that, you know, keeping Gary Rowett would have actually changed this situation or put us in a better position. In fact, we appeared to be moving in the wrong direction under him as well. So anyway, that's it for now. Let's not jump the gun. Let's give Neil Harris a chance. And 13 games to go. Let's make it happen. Come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Millwall.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.